Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Lou from Crossbridge. Glad to have you with us as you worship with us today as we come around the Lord's table. I just want to just take my hat off to every church that's broadcasting online, every church that proclaims the gospel and is faithful to the scripture. The first song we're going to ask you to do is We Lift Jesus High, and that's exactly what's happening when we broadcast online. So Jesus is the reason why we're here, so would you join us, please, in worship? Our call to worship today comes from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Would you say it along with me if you're home? This is one of the great promises that Jesus gives to us as we lift him up today. So are you ready? Here we go. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can I get an amen on that?
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
That is good.
Amen. Blessed are those who
ever praise me. Blessed are those who praise you, who whose hearts are set on our God. The chorus of that song cries out to God to come heal our land. We need that. We need that right now. It's been a long, hard road. It's been a road of uncertainty. It's been a road of concern and worry. And we know worrying is wrong, but in our humanness, sometimes we slip back into it. So as we come before the Lord in prayer today, would you please join me in prayer? Father, we desperately need your healing in this land. We pray as we're in the midst of this COVID-19 virus, that you would just get our hearts, grab our hearts, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are still in control. You are still God. Father, we pray, continue to pray for those on the front lines, for our medical workers, for our delivery people, the people in retail, for the pharmacist, and for all who is still serving the public. Protect them, protect their families. We pray for families who have lost loved ones through this, or friends, and we just ask for comfort and peace at this time. But Father, this land, this country needs your healing touch that can only come from you. We ask that through the power of your word and your spirit, you would bring healing to our land, to our churches, to our families. And Father, we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I listen to that song, I'm glad he knows my name. I'm glad he knows your name. And that's the promise of the scripture. As we look at the word of God this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. And this is a familiar story. This happened later in the day on Easter. As we go into this, I just want to encourage you this morning that God knows all our circumstances. He knows them better than we do. He knows what we're facing. He knows our uncertainty. Yesterday, Mary Lou and I just took a ride just to get some fresh air, and I noticed a lot of people out and about, and I know people are kind of getting tired of the lockdown and all, but it's necessary right now. And there are a lot of people confused. I've talked to people who wonder if their jobs will be there when when this is all done. People who are kind of foggy in their thinking, who really want some answers to all of this. And there are people who are discouraged. When we go through difficult times, I think it's important that we honestly acknowledge and own our feelings. In the Christian church for too many years, we've encouraged people to put on masks, to hide their feelings, to stuff their feelings, to cover them up, and that's the worst thing we can do. We need to come before God and acknowledge our feelings, own them, and let God work through them. It's vitally important, in my opinion, to bring the feelings to Jesus and ask him for help to work through the issues. So Dr. Luke, in his gospel, gives us great insight into this passage about two disciples who were going through a difficult and confusing time on that first Easter Sunday. These two disciples were in Jerusalem. They knew Jesus. They witnessed him being killed on the cross. They know his body was in the grave, and they had heard rumors that the grave was empty, and they were trying to put all of this together. And so they were going through difficult times, much like we are. They didn't know what the future held. They didn't know if their master was really dead or alive. But in times like this, you and I need the Word and the Holy Spirit to release the power of the Word into our lives. One of the biggest mistakes that I think we make is that when we go through difficult times, we stop reading the Word of God. We stop praying. We stop worshiping. And that's the worst thing that we can do. And I think as we go through this passage, you'll see why. Would you read Dr. Luke's account with me as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? See, it says, now that same day, that's Easter Sunday, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened from Thursday right through Sunday. They were kind of talking. Now, that word talking in that verse means they were kind of debating. It was an intense conversation. It wasn't a casual conversation. They were asking questions. They were expressing their doubts. They were really going back and forth with one another to kind of try to relieve their confusion and the fogginess in their thinking. And then something incredible happens. It says, as they walked and talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, this is, of course, the resurrected Christ who comes and walks with them. Excuse me. And I don't know exactly how Jesus kept them from recognizing them, but he did. But look what happens. This is the incredible grace of Jesus. He asked them a question. He wanted to bring them through a process that would help them kind of connect all the dots and say and make sense of what was happening. So he asked a pointed question. Here's what he asked. What are you discussing together as you walk along? Thank you, Bill. And they stood still, and their faces were downcast. Wow. Jesus knows how to get exactly to the heart of the issue. He knows how to get to the heart of the issue in my heart and your heart. But this is important. He asked the question, and they were downcast, which means they were really discouraged. Excuse me for a second. Downcast is a shepherding term. And a sheep will wander off sometimes from the flock. And if he wanders far out, there's a danger that if the sheep lays down, the sheep can turn on his back. And that is a death sentence for a sheep, because a sheep will suffocate in that position. A sheep has no muscles to right himself again. So the sheep is helpless at that point. That's called downcast. The shepherd has to find the sheep, and when he finds the sheep, he starts to massage the sheep's legs, bring blood back into the legs, and then he turns the sheep on the side and starts to massage. This is a slow process. And then when the sheep is ready, he'll upright the sheep and take him back to the flock. These disciples were downcast. This was a deep state of confusion, a deep state of disappointment. And so they were without hope at this point. Robert E. Lee, you've heard that name from history. He once said, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me the light and strength I need. This is the process that Jesus started. He wanted to bring them through Scripture. So first, the power of the Word can start to clear up our confusion. And secondly, the power of the Word can lift us up. I want you to notice the following verses here. It says, one of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one, Jesus, visiting Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word, and deed before God and all the people. You see, they knew some things, but they couldn't quite connect the dots. And he goes on to say, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Here's the gospel in a nutshell, really. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They were expecting a militant Messiah who was going to come on the scene, defeat all of Israel's enemies, and set up his kingdom. But they forgot about all the prophecy in the Old Testament that talked about the necessity of a suffering Savior. And so they heard the tomb was empty and that he was alive, but they just couldn't make sense of it. Well, Jesus in his grace starts a process. This is incredible. It says, they came and told us, the other disciples and the women, they had seen a vision of angels and who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women said, but they did not see Jesus. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. What Jesus was saying to them, how foolish you are, you have the Old Testament. Jesus can be found on every page in the Old Testament, and you still refuse to believe the truth. Then he asked another question. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses, I love this. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. These guys went to seminary, if you will, in a very short time with Jesus, as Jesus began to teach them the Old Testament prophecies about the suffering Messiah, the one who came to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, the one who came to be both Messiah and Savior. And that Jesus was his centerpiece. Look at what happens here. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. How gracious Jesus is. You know, Jesus comes up and starts walking with them. He knows that they're downcast. He brings them through a master's lessons of the scriptures. And something starts happening in them. For you see, the word is powerful. And if we let the word, it can lift us up out of our confusion, out of our discouragement, out of the mire. Jesus accepted their invitation. Jesus is always the gentleman. He never forced anyone to do anything. So he graciously accepted. I came across a quote that it's kind of tucked away for a lot of years. I've used it previously, and it's had a big impact on my life. Maybe this will encourage you. This is by that great author, Anonymous, and here's the quote. I've read many books, but the Bible is the only book that reads me. Think about it. You know, there are two types of people, I think, that come to the Bible. People who have already made up their minds about the things of the Bible, or people who come to the Bible with an open mind and let the Scripture make up their minds. That's a big difference. Some come with open hearts, open minds, open eyes so that the Word of God can do its work in their hearts. Everett Harris said this, no one ever graduates from Bible study unless he meets the author face to face. I, as a pastor, have always encouraged people to be in Bible studies, whether it's personal, small groups, however it works best for you. If we only pick up the Bible once on a Sunday, it's not enough. We don't give the Word a chance to lift us up. We don't give the Word a chance to release its power into our lives through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Word empowers us to go on. I want you to look at this. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. But look what happened. They didn't start to argue with each other again. They didn't start to debate what was happening. Listen to this great statement. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" That's a great statement. You know, I mentioned this in passing last week. I'll mention it again today. We're fortunate to have, you know, some small groups going. We're fortunate to have people doing Bible studies. And I want to suggest to you, when we come to the Bible with open hearts, open minds, and let the Holy Spirit, let the Word come alive to us, there's a power that is released into us that empowers us to share that with others. It goes beyond saying, by the way, where it says, "Were our hearts not burning with us?" Those of you who know me, I went to school for a master's degree, and I went to school for my doctorate degree. And I guess I'm one of those people who love to be in class with other people. So much to learn. I've had more schooling than typical medical doctor. But the Bible is so inexhaustive. I love learning. I love to have my heart burning as God works in my heart as I learn the Word of God. And I think sometimes we separate ourselves from that. I thought about calling this message Holy Heartburn. This is the good type of heartburn to have when the Word of God is starting to work in and deep, and we want more of it. We can't get enough of the Word. But look at what happened. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And this was at night. This was not an easy journey, and it was a dangerous journey, but they didn't care. They found the 11 and those with them and assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. Wow. You know, we have a lot of people who are hurting. We have a lot of people who are confused. We have a lot of people who are trying to make sense of this. I want to suggest to you and I, as the opportunity might open up, have the Word of God, and that together we can talk with people, not at them, not down to them, but talk with people on a level playing field, if you will, and just guide them through the scriptures and to discover the magnificence of God, the incredible grace of God through Jesus Christ, the treasure of the cross and the resurrection, and a promise of new life and new hope through faith in Jesus Christ. This is what this is all about this morning. We're here to lift up Jesus. As we lift up Jesus in song and prayer, as we lift up Jesus in reading of the Word, as we lift up Jesus in our testimonies, as we lift up Jesus in the personal reading of our Word, we find that he lifts us up. That's the power of the Word. So I need to ask the Holy Spirit this morning to renew in us an insatiable hunger for God's Word. We also need to come before God and confess and repent of our sin so that God's word can do its work through us from the inside out. So are we willing to give God our confusion, our discouragement, our worry? Are we willing to let the word of God lift us up above the circumstances? Are we willing to let the word of God empower us to share? We've been blessed with many good Bible teachers, and I believe in every church that's faithful to the gospel, God raises up gifted teachers, including in this church. And I pray that when we come back again, or maybe even through Zoom, or however we can do this in a safe way, that we can encourage one another and study the scriptures together so that as Jesus is lifted up, we allow him to lift us up above our confusion, our concerns, our worries. That's his promise. We're going to come to the Lord's table in a moment. And this is the perfect place for you and I to get real with God, to come before the table of our Savior and to confess our sin very specifically. It's been paid for 2,000 years ago. Let's confess it, repent of it, ask God's forgiveness. Scripture says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ask God for the power, again, the power of not to do it again. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but as many times as we sin, that's as many times as we should confess and repent. Maybe the prayer this morning is the lack of us being in the Word. Maybe the prayer for us this morning is looking elsewhere to make sense of what's going on, rather to God and his Word and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And so, if that's the case, if at home you have some juice and bread and you want to partake with us, we're going to prepare now to come before the Lord's table. This is a place for Christ followers. You don't have to be a member of a church, but you simply need to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by faith. So as we prepare, the praise team is going to share with us a song to help put our hearts in the right place.
And
He was the one who died for us on the cross, paid our debt that we deserved. He incurred the full wrath of God on the cross in my place and in your place. Jesus used that, what we call the Last Supper, to give an object lesson, really, to the disciples. And the bread they used to use for that was matzah, unleavened bread. And he passed the bread around. He broke it, passed the bread around. And he said to his disciples, this bread represents his broken body. If you notice matzah, especially matzah that is kosher, it's striated and burned and has holes in it. And that kind of represents the torture his body went through on the cross of Calvary. And he wanted the disciples to have an illustration, something they can repeat among themselves when he wasn't with them anymore, bodily that is, and to remind them of his great grace, of the miraculous gift of grace because of the cross of Christ. So he said to his disciples, this bread represents his broken body. He says, when you eat it, do this in remembrance of him. So would you eat, please? Father, as we come before the table and remember this tremendous sacrifice of love, help us, Father, to honestly come before you with all our confusion, all our sin and shame, and humbly confess and repent of it. For forgiveness was won for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. Father, we can't imagine the magnitude of the love of the Son for each of us, but we know it's true. And so, Father, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus took the fourth cup of the Passover, the wine. And he said to the disciples that the wine represents his blood. The blood that was shed for them on the cross, the blood of a new covenant. The blood that was necessary to cleanse us from our sin once and for all, that we can have forgiveness, complete forgiveness by a perfect sacrifice, Jesus himself. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he shed his lifeblood so that you and I may know him intimately through faith and repentance, that we may know new life, new hope, and new forgiveness. He also wanted this to be a sign of a new covenant. Covenants in the ancient times were ratified by the blood of a sacrifice. Well, the ultimate sacrifice, his blood, ratified this new covenant. And his new covenant is simply this, that Jesus promises Christ's followers that he will never leave us or forsake us. Amen? And when he comes back again, whenever that is, I don't know, but whenever that is, he'll bring us to himself. What an incredible promise. So Jesus passed the cup and he says, when you do this in remembrance of him. Would you drink, please? As we come to the close of service, Bill and the team are going to sing for you, I think, the appropriate song for this. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Would you sing, please?
Thank you. amazing grace.
Unending love and amazing grace. I hope through the music and the prayer and the reading of the word and the preaching of the word, you were encouraged this morning. Let's not ignore the word of God. It is powerful, more powerful than we could ever imagine. I want to thank our praise people for helping this morning. They've been doing this now, I guess, for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And I appreciate their willingness to do this and sacrifice to do this. I want to thank their families for sharing them with us.
We'd like to thank our pastor. We need to thank our pastor. He's been tireless.
Amen.
He's our shepherd. And he's been wonderful through this whole thing. So praise God for our pastor and pray for our pastor.
We're here on Saturday or Sunday. He's here all the time.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you. Give glory to God.
Amen.
I pray for you during the week. I miss all of you dearly. I look forward to the day where we can see each other again. Just to remind you, I'll be on the air tomorrow around 10 o'clock through Thursday with some devotionals that might help you and encourage you along the way. But remember this, that God is still in control. He is still on the throne. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and nothing but nothing could ever separate us from Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go in power. Let's be in the Word of God and ask God to release the power of the Word into our hearts and lives. Amen?
Amen.
God bless. Have a great week.
Amen.
Amen.